The Dago people, as those of us bound for San Diego were called, boarded a troop train in a big railroad terminal in Atlanta. Everyone was in high spirits, as though we were headed for a picnic instead of boot camp and a war. The trip across the country took several days and was uneventful but interesting. Most of us had never been west, and we enjoyed the scenery. The monotony of the trip was broken with card games, playing jokes on each other, and waving, yelling, and whistling at any and all women visible. We ate some meals in dining cars on the train, but at certain places the train pulled onto a siding, and we ate in the restaurant in the railroad terminal. Nearly all of the rail traffic we passed was military. We saw long trains composed almost entirely of flat cars loaded with tanks, half tracks, artillery pieces, trucks, and other military equipment. Many troop trains passed us going both ways. Most of them carried army troops. This rail traffic impressed on us the enormousness of the nation's war effort. We arrived in San Diego early one morning. Collecting our gear, we fell into ranks outside our cars as a first sergeant came along and told the NCOs on our train which buses to get us aboard. This first sergeant looked old to us teenagers. Like ourselves, he was dressed in a green wool Marine uniform, but he had campaign ribbons on his chest. He also wore the green French fourragère on his left shoulder. Later, as a member of the 5th Marine Regiment, I would wear the braided cord around my left arm with pride. But this man sported, in addition, two single loops outside his arm. That meant he had served with a regiment, either the 5th or 6th Marines, that had received the award from France for distinguished combat service in World War I. The sergeant made a few brief remarks to us about the tough training we faced. He seemed friendly and compassionate, almost fatherly. His manner threw us into a false sense of well-being and left us totally unprepared for the shock that awaited us when we got off those buses. "Fall out and board your assigned buses," ordered the first sergeant. "All right, you people, get aboard them buses," the NCOs yelled. They seemed to have become more authoritarian as we approached San Diego. After a ride of only a few miles, the buses rolled to a stop in the big Marine Corps recruit depot, boot camp. As I looked anxiously out the window, I saw many platoons of recruits marching along the streets. Each drill instructor, DI, bellowed his highly individual cadence. The recruits looked as rigid as sardines in a can. I grew nervous at seeing how serious, or rather, scared, they seemed. "All right, you people, off them damn buses,"